Welcome to the August 19th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Get Rid of Excess Baggage. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Welcome to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm Associate Pastor of Students and Families here. We are so glad that you decided to join us for worship this day. We'd like to find out everybody who was here. There are little sign-up sheets on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite you to take those and fill those out. Members and guests alike, we'd like to find out who was here this morning. Just put your name down and any information that you feel comfortable. Check the appropriate boxes. Send it down the row so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We ask that when it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back where it started, that would be great so our ushers can get those at the end of the service. Several announcements I'll make as we get started. We are having children's time today. That will be after hymn number 70. So invite the kids to come down front and meet me down here for children's time. Also, this afternoon, we are having an end of the summer pool party. This is something for everybody to come to. We are going to be at Town and Country Pool starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The pool party will go from 4 until 7. We'll provide everything except we just bring your lawn chairs and a dessert to share. We'll take care of hamburgers and hot dogs and all the fixings and all the drinks. So then at 7 o'clock, we will have our life service. That will be at Town and Country. So come on out to the pool about 4 o'clock and stay through the life service. It'll be a great afternoon. Our family ministry team is sponsoring this event and appreciate all the help that they are providing to make this event possible. Let's see. Marinelle. Where's Marinelle? Come on down.
Good morning. Some of you know I'm a teacher in the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools, and we started back to work this week. And I was in a workshop this week, and the speaker asked us to close our eyes and visualize chocolate cake. And so everybody closed their eyes, and we visualized chocolate cake. And then he asked us to describe the chocolate cake that we had in our mind. And, of course, as you well know, one person had German chocolate cake. One person had a chocolate cake with yellow cake with chocolate icing. Another person had chocolate cake with cherries on top. So the variety was as numerous as the people in the room. And the reason I share that with you is that College Park is cooking. We are starting another cookbook. And for every chocolate cake recipe that you have, someone else has a chocolate cake recipe that's just as good, but might be varied in some way. And we need all your chocolate cake recipes, not just chocolate cake recipes, but all your recipes. So please think about entering 5 to 10 or more recipes. There are recipe papers that you can put your recipe on. They're located at the Welcome Center, and there are boxes located all around the church. I need to tell you that there's also a poster beside the Welcome Center that is for specific recipes that you want in the cookbook. If you know that, for example, Janice Farmer makes a wonderful hot chicken salad and you want that recipe in the cookbook, then you put, I want Janice Farmer's hot chicken salad recipe. Cleo Lane, there was a recipe for Cleo Lane that someone wanted. If you have a specific recipe that you want seen in the cookbook, please put that in there, and we'll make sure that we get that person to enter that recipe. the deadline for the cookbooks is September the 2nd. We are going to be shipping our recipes out on the 17th, so we need your recipes in on the 2nd. The proceeds from our cookbook are going to go for our preschool and children's renovation of the new wing, and so we need everybody to think about Christmas presents, and in September and October, you will have a chance to purchase, pre-order some cookbooks. So One more thing. If by any chance you don't think you can write neatly enough to put the recipe on the paper, there are some volunteers that will take your recipe and write it for you. So you need to see me or Cecilia Cobble, and we'll be glad to do that for you. There is also a link for you techno geeks, I think that's the term now, that you can put your recipe on a form. And if you will call the church office and ask for Gail, she will tell you how to do that. So, September 2nd, get your recipes in. Thank you.
Now we just need to get Raymond to shorten his sermon because I'm getting hungry. That's good talking. Okay. Thank you. All right. Other announcements we want to make today. We are having the last week of the In a Word Summer Bible Study Series this Wednesday. And we've asked that it's going to be a covered dish salad supper. Did I get that right? Covered dish salad supper. So bring your favorite covered dish salad supper items, and we'll provide, we'll take care of the desserts and the drinks, and that'll be this Wednesday evening. Also, Mary wanted me to let you know that there is a special Sunday school teacher training event at Ardmore Baptist this coming Saturday. And we've been invited for any teachers who would like to attend. You're welcome to come. Just need to contact Mary if you are interested. Next week, we have a special event. This is kind of the last weekend of this past year, and we're kicking off next week the new Sunday school year. And it'll be promotion day for the youth and the children, and we're having a special event for them and their families in Smith Hall, the Sunday school celebration. We want you to come and be a part of that if you're a youth, a child, or anybody in the family. We'll be having a speaker. His name's Matt Four. He's been at College Park before. He will be speaking at the celebration and during worship next week. After the celebration, we will be having what we call the service of affirmation. All of our teachers are back to work, and our parents are buying school supplies, and the kids are really not wanting to go back to school. But we are just about a week away, and we want to affirm both our Sunday school education and our public and private education people who are beginning, and that will happen next Sunday during worship. This is also the day we start our prayer partner ministry. If you want to keep your current prayer partner, I need to know that by Wednesday of this week. Otherwise, every other adult in the church will have the opportunity to take an envelope with the name of one of our students. From babies through college students, you will receive an envelope as you leave the service next Sunday morning, and you will take that name. That will be your prayer partner. We would ask that you pray for them on an ongoing basis, contact them as you feel comfortable for the next year. And it's a great part of our ministry, and we will kick that off next Sunday morning. If you have any questions about that, please don't hesitate to just talk to me about that. Hey, Raymond, you got an announcement.
This morning you had a bulletin insert, and it's very visual. I want you to take that out if you'll look at it for just a moment. You might have seen posters in the last couple weeks that have been placed up and seen the newsletter article about our fall emphasis entitled Why. From the time we're children, preschoolers, one of the first things that comes out of their mouth is why. You ask them to do something, they say why. And there's a lot of similar characteristics between adults and preschoolers, and this is one of them. We tend to ask the question why quite a bit. And so we're going to answer some of those questions. You see some of them, why am I here? Why should I believe in God? Why should I trust the Bible? Why is the world so messed up? Why the conflict, science and the Bible, if you think that there is one? Why Jesus? Those type of things. And as you might guess, this is going to be a wonderful time to bring guests. Maybe people that you've built a relationship with who may have some of these questions. And it'll be, just a wonderful emphasis for us to kind of look at these issues together, talk about them, pray about them, and come to some conclusions. So it begins September the 9th, Sunday, September the 9th, which is the weekend, the Sunday following Labor Day, and it will run through the middle of October. But what I want you to do, if you would be willing to participate in this, on the commitment card that's listed in there, it says if you would be willing to do all five commitments. I want to give you one other option. If you would be willing to participate, but you don't feel like maybe you can do all of these for whatever scheduling reasons or whatever, I want you to circle. I still want you to fill it out and circle the things that you would be willing to commit to do. Okay, fair enough? Your head's this way. Okay, if you would be willing to do that, then put the date and your name and address and email if you have one to where we can contact you. We're going to have small group studies, and some of them will meet on Sunday night. Some of them will meet on other nights during the week. They may meet here at the church. They may meet in people's homes. So we're going to have a variety of venues in which to study this material, and it's excellent material. So if you'd be willing to participate in it, then sign this card. There's white boxes over at each side as you leave. Feel free to drop the commitment card in there. If you are not able to participate, if you would, please just leave this laying on your pew when you leave today. Okay, that way we'll have extra copies for those that might want to pick up one later. Okay, so if you're not able to participate, just leave this laying in your pew. But if you are willing, but you just need to think about it and pray about it a little while, that's fine too. Take it with you, and you can drop these cards back by the church office anytime that you need to. Okay, fair enough? And we'll begin this again Sunday, September the 9th, but we're trying to get some commitments, some early commitments, so we'll know in terms of how much material we need to order. So thank you very much. Hope you'll be praying about that and inviting guests to be with us during those Sundays during the month of September and October. Thank you.
We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information on the friendship register, the pew pads, a little earlier. We have ushers that want to give something to you to tell you about College Park. If you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you just to raise your hand. As the ushers are coming down the aisles, they will give you a packet of information. Inside this is a history, a little story about College Park, what we believe in. There's a letter from our pastor and also a current newsletter tells you what's going on in the life of our church. And we pray this hour of worship will be a blessing to you. You're our guest here, and we welcomed you to this sanctuary. Today we begin, I talked about there's a new Sunday school year that's beginning, a new church year, for the last several years in our summers, we have had interns for youth and for college that have helped to make the ministries happen and to expand the opportunities. The last few years, we've also had the budget funds for a part-time family ministry associate during the school year. We've been waiting for the right person to fill this position, and the position has now been filled. It was voted on back in July. Ward Page, come on up. We are excited about Ward. He's going to be serving in our family ministry for this school year, 2007-2008. He's going to be a first-year student at the Wake Forest Divinity School. I'm so glad it's not me. And so we are excited that he's going to be working part-time every week while he's at school. And so he wanted just to come and to say a word. We are very excited about Ward and what he's going to bring to our ministry. And we know Ward grew up at College Park. You know him well. And we're just excited about what he has to do this school year. Ward?
Good morning. I did just want to say a couple of things. As I've been starting off working here for the second time again, I've been reading a lot of scriptures and stuff, and one in particular is standing out in my mind. This is a scripture from the Psalms. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." In all seriousness, it's a great honor to stand back up here as a intern again, or an associate this time. It's very humbling to know how much trust that you have engendered in me, and I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to working with the young people and the family ministries, and I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Hey, where are you going? Come back. We're not done. Disaster, huh? Oh, it's going to be worse than you thought. All right. We do want to have a special time of prayer for Ward. And we know that we believe in prayer at College Park, and you support the prayer ministry. We especially need to support Ward in our prayers. And I just want to have just a moment for us to pray together and to consider Ward's call to ministry. Would you pray with me? Our Father God, we thank you when we see people who are called by your name, who surrender to your call. Father, we understand that that call begins with us every day responding to your call on our lives to live out our Christian faith. And Father, we celebrate this day the ministry that Ward will have at College Park, at Wake Forest Divinity School. And we ask your blessings upon him. Give him your wisdom and your courage and your strength for understanding the specifics of the call that you have placed on his life. Prepare him. Give him strength for this journey. And let him know he is in the middle of your will. And what a great thing that will be. And we give you all the praise and all the honor. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks. You will find a responsive reading in your bulletin this morning as we begin our time of worship. We call it the invitation to share in worship. Worship is something we do together. This one comes from Psalm 36, verses 5 through 9. It is a responsive reading. I invite you to stand now. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. You preserve both man and beast.
How righteous is your unfailing love.
Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning is exactly what we were created to do. You made us to have relationship with you, to be in your presence, to worship and glorify your name. That is the purpose of music. That's the purpose of song. That's the purpose of our lives, of our hearts. Our heart beats because you gave us life, and we worship you for that gift. And so, Father, we come into this place recognizing what worship truly is. Our surrender to your will for our life. Help us to worship, to completely give ourselves over to you, to be focused on the studying of your word, to focus on the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Reveal yourself to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. How is everybody? Come on down. Come on down.
How's everybody?
Good. Are you ready for school?
Yeah.
I bet if I asked the teachers that same question, they'd have about the same response. Have y'all been on vacation any this summer?
Yeah.
Ooh. What do you have to do when you go on vacation? Before you get in the car, what do you have to do?
Pack.
Now, we packed a lot this summer, taking youth on trips, and they were really heavy, especially the girl luggage. They're like really heavy. And I've got, we carry a lot of stuff. I've got a bag. Can somebody stand up here and try to pick this bag up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Try to pick it up. One at a time. Pick it. Come on. Pick it. Pick it up. Oh, it's just a little bag. Okay. Good. Okay, have a seat. Okay, good. Now have a seat. Have a seat. Okay, now I need to keep my bag. Thank you. Good job. Harrison. Okay. Okay, Raymond, that was a bad idea. All right. So, now that was hard, wasn't it? Now, when you carry something heavy, you were grunting. Weren't you grunting? And you were kind of, and you were.
I have to drag it.
Yeah, you have to drag it. And it's kind of hard to smile and be happy when you're. Your faces don't look very happy when you're grunting and. Have you ever been mad?
Oh, yeah.
What does your face look like? What does your face look like when you get mad?
Like this.
The same face that you're moving. You're just holding and you get mad. Or can you love Jesus when you're mad? What does Jesus tell us to love people? Even love our enemies?
Yeah.
Love people that make us mad? Is that easy to do? If you're mad, can you love Jesus?
Oh yeah.
Is it hard to show Jesus love? If you're mad at people, that's not what Jesus wants, is it? He wants us to love them and to let go of that being mad and let go of that being upset. That's the scripture that we're going to talk about this morning. I want you to listen real close to what Pastor Raymond's going to talk about. He's going to say we got to let go when people make us mad or people make us upset because Jesus tells us to love them. And to show them how much that Jesus loves them. That's what I want you to do today. If maybe somebody said something ugly to you, or maybe you said something ugly to them. I want you to find out how can you show Jesus' love to them. Can you do that for me? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to show your love to people around us. But sometimes it's just hard. Especially when people are mean to us or ugly to us and we try to get mad. And Father, you want us to love and to show your love to everybody we see. Help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seat.
At College Park, we believe in Scripture. In much the same way we believe in prayer. And we believe that Scripture is not only a part of our personal walk with the Lord in our daily lives, but also a part of worship. Our weekly readings come from the Revised Common Lectionary, which includes typically at least one passage from each the Old and the New Testaments in sequential order as it goes through the Bible and hits many of the landmark passages and different aspects of Scripture that lead us on our walk with Christ and serve as a basis for worship and our personal relationship through Scripture. Our readings this morning, first from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah in chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. If you do not have your Bible with you, there's likely a pew Bible located close to you. Please feel free to follow along. From Isaiah 5. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do with my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Also from the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, in the 80th Psalm, verses 1 and 2, and then 8 through the end of the Psalm. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea. It shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. And from the New Testament, in Luke's Gospel, 12th chapter of Luke, beginning in verse 49, Jesus speaking to the disciples. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, as a people gathered in Christ, nurtured in your spirit and sent in your name, we give thanks for your presence in our lives, for your love, and for how well you know us because you created us. Lord, as we think about what we are to do and what your will is for each of our lives, we start with the fact that you know us so well. You created us. We are many different people as we're gathered here today with many different situations, many different blessings, many different problems and struggles and burdens. Lord, we give thanks that you know exactly who we are. You know exactly what we're going through. You know exactly what we need. And you offer for us to turn to you through all of it at any time, no matter what is going on, no matter how difficult things are. Lord, help us to turn to you as we seek to be nurtured, as we seek to grow stronger in our relationship with you, as we seek to deal with the realities of our daily lives, to seek to be who we need to be. Lord, often we try, even with best intentions, to work for you and to do the things that you would have us to do. But we fail when we try to do that without working with you and allowing you to work in us. Help us to turn to you so that we may not stand in the way of what you're trying to do in our lives. You may not stand in the way of the solutions that are there for us as we seek to deal with the problems and the struggles that we have. And Lord, help us to understand that we are sent in your name, not once, not twice, but every single day. There are needs around us. There are friends and family members and church members and members of our communities who are hurting, who are struggling around us. They may not know you. They may not know you the way we do. Help us to understand and to take hold of the charge that we are sent in your name every single day. Help our eyes to be open and our ears to hear the opportunities around us to serve. Lord, thank you for blessing this church, for blessing these people, for giving us the opportunity to worship you, to know you, to turn to you. Help us to take hold of that. Let it be what our lives are about each and every day as we seek to follow you as members of the body of Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you. We ask that you be with our young adults as they travel to college and with our youth as they prepare for school. Please give them guidance and strength. We ask that you accept these, our gifts, to be used to glorify your name. Amen.
This morning we're going to be talking about getting rid of excess baggage and what that means in our lives. Well, okay. Nate, wait right there. James, what are you doing, buddy? Some practicing. What is this thing?
It's a parachute.
It's a parachute.
Yeah.
What do you use it for?
It helps train you and make you faster.
Makes you faster.
Yeah.
How does this make you faster?
It provides resistance when you run.
Provides resistance.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. That is great. Do you plan on wearing this in the game Friday night?
Probably not.
Well, if Carson and I bought these for all the linebackers, would you wear them in the game Friday night?
I don't think so.
Well, okay. All right, Nate, buddy, what are you doing over there? Just chill. It's kind of like Friday night, wasn't it, buddy? It's the hardest throw he's ever made in his life, you know what I'm saying? What do you have on your hands, though?
These are training gloves for receivers. They actually have weights around them, so it's kind of hard to get your hands up to catch the ball.
Oh, okay. So it gives, like, resistance?
Right.
So it makes you stronger.
Exactly.
So you get your hands up faster.
Correct.
Dr. Parker, you used to do some boxing, didn't you? Did you use weighted hands when you were doing? What was the purpose of that? Get you a bigger blow. Stronger. Make you stronger? Okay. Well, that makes a whole lot of sense. Do you think you would wear those in a game?
No.
They look pretty stylish, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you cut the weights off, maybe?
Probably.
Maybe in a game. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate your help. Appreciate your help. We use these training things, and I know that probably the writer of the book of Hebrews, he was familiar with the Olympics. Now, these guys aren't Olympic athletes yet, I don't guess, but he was familiar with the Olympic Games. The Olympic Games actually go back 2,500 years. And I would guess that probably he was thinking in terms of that analogy as he wrote in the book of Hebrews, the metaphor talking about running the life of faith. But let's put it into context. We talked last week about walking daily by faith, step by step, and today we want to pick up there. In verse 29 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 29, we need to get a little background material. So if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 11, verse 29, we're going to start there, and we'll end up in chapter 12. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would be made perfect. That's the background. So giving that kind of harsh reading, or would appear maybe to be harsh reading, he begins chapter 12 with this key word, therefore. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. the writer is speaking of laying down every weight. As the children were here this morning, they couldn't pick up this baggage. It was too heavy for them. They couldn't pick it up. We need to set aside every sin that clings to us, that distracts us, that we can run the race with patience, or as the writer says, with perseverance, the race of faith that's set before us. Look ahead, out in front of you. As we've already talked about, athletes use strength to build strength. They use weight to build strength. They use resistance to build strength. They used to use wrist weights, and runners used to use these fashionable little ankle weights. Remember those? They were filled with sand. I think orthopedic people finally determined that that's probably not the best plan in terms of your joints and everything else. So now they use things that are a little bit more sophisticated, like the parachute that you saw so lovely demonstrated by James. They see those type of things. You see weighted gloves, which are distributed a little bit differently, as Nathan used. But in the real race, in the game, in the competition that they would want to enter, they set that, whatever that resistance is, whatever that baggage, whatever that weight is, they set it aside. They throw off the weight so that they can run the best race that they can. So they can get their hands up quicker. Do whatever they do it the best that they can. So spiritually speaking, there are weights. There's resistance. There's baggage that keeps us from running the race of faith. There is, as the author says, sin that so easily entangles us that we are not able to do what we need to do. They may be healthy or unhealthy, excuse me. They may be unhealthy addictions. They may be unhealthy desires. There may be a bad habit that threatens to damage our physical, our emotional well-being. There may be a habit that forces us to have bad relationships. There may be bad things that go on in terms of our reputation. Habits that we have that ruin all these aspects in their life. There may be something so small as getting upset that there was a parachute or a football in the sanctuary that we don't hear anything else that's said. I know none of you think that, but I mean, it is possible, it's conceivable to get upset over such small things that we lose our focus, that we don't run the race that's been set before us. You know, there may be physical, there may be mental, there may be social, personal characteristics about ourselves, such as an uncontrolled temper. We can't hold that back. So it keeps us from growing and maturing. We may be struggling with the baggage of guilt, something that we've done in the past, that we've confessed it, and we know God, consciously we know God has forgiven us, but we can't forgive ourselves. So therefore we give Satan the victory, and we just let him beat us over the head with that guilt. There may be bitterness. There may be anger. There may be ill feelings that we have towards someone who did something wrong to us, and we can't forgive. All of these things are baggage. Regret over something that we wish we had done. A foolish mistake that we made. A broken relationship. And we just can't seem to get past it. It's like a 30-pound child trying to pick up 50 pounds of weight. It just can't be done. It holds us back. And it threatens our very survival emotionally and spiritually. There's a scene in the movie The Pirates of the Caribbean, and I don't know which one it was. It was one, two, or three. You know, they all kind of run together at some point. But in this particular scene, they are fleeing evil, if you will, as it's been set up in the movie. They're fleeing on a boat, but evil seems to be getting closer to them, so they decide they've got to get rid of all the extra stuff. Now, you've seen this probably in just about any kind of, you know, nautical movie at some point. They begin tossing things overboard to lighten the load. And they keep tossing everything just about over the side of the ship to get away. Because their very survival is dependent on not having excess baggage in their life, on their ship. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're asking that question. You're asking that exact question, spiritually speaking, what kind of baggage do I need to throw overboard so that I can run the race that God has for me to run? What do I need to get rid of? You know, and you may ask the question, you may be thinking, okay, Raymond, you're kind of mixing up your metaphor and your analogy here, because what I see is athletes use this stuff to train with, so why shouldn't I take all this baggage upon myself? Won't it make me stronger? Isn't that the right analogy? Wrong. Wrong answer. You see, because athletes in training aren't running the race. They're not in the competition. They're rehearsing. They're practicing. And life is the real deal. Life is the race. It's not a practice run. Life is the real deal. And besides that, get this, it's not about our strength. It may come as a news flash, but it's not about us. It never has been. It never will be. It is not about our strength. It is about God's strength through us. And in order for God to let His strength flow through us, we need to be clean vessels. So in order to be clean vessels, we need to, as they say in the mountains, get shed all that bad stuff. You know what I'm saying? We need to get rid of all the bad things in our life. The extra baggage that we carry around. Sometimes we're even so bold as to wear that extra baggage like the red badge of courage. When in effect, we need to be getting rid of it. We need to allow His strength to be perfect in us. We need to be clean vessels. So why do we do it? Why do we struggle with the emotional weight, sinful habits that literally drain our life? Drain our life of the joy that we should have in this walk of faith that He's given us. Why do we do that? Why do we keep His strength from being perfect in us? That's the question that Hebrews ask. And the answer is Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who stands there like a good trainer, a coach, to encourage us, to help us get rid of those things in our life. And He provided the means by which we can get rid of it. Forgiveness. Confession and forgiveness through the work of Jesus Christ is the only way to get rid of that baggage. Others try different things. They go to this person, they go to that person, they go to this session and that session. Through Jesus Christ, forgiveness comes. Through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, God's love can be made perfect through us. His strength and His comfort can be made perfect in us as we become cleaner and cleaner vessels. As we set aside that baggage and allow His strength to fill the void. There's a scene in the movie Forrest Gump, which was on TNT last night. It happened as they were thumbing through. I saw it and I thought, you know, that's kind of what I'm talking about tomorrow. You remember he had shackles on his legs? As a child, thanks for the feedback there, buddy. You're with me. He had shackles on his, he had braces on his legs. And what happened? Do you remember? Yeah. See, he and Jeannie got attacked by these bullies on the road. And she looked at Forrest and she yelled what?
Run, Forrest!
And so what'd Forrest do? What did he do? He started running. And as he ran, I think you filled in the rest of the story, as he ran, what happened? Braces fell off. And as I remember the movie from then on, he pretty much ran the rest of the movie, didn't he? I mean, from that day forward, he ran. He ran the race. Not being held back by shackles, braces, anything that would confine him. Now, we're not Forrest Gump. And we're not Summer Olympic athletes. We're not Nathan trying to catch a ball that was overthrown. But if you'll think about it, my last word is, son, don't underthrow it. I mean, look at the angle. You know, aim high, son. All right. We're not James pulling against a training chute. But every single one of us, every single one of us are running the race of faith. We're at different points in our race. Each of us individually are at completely different points, but our strength is made perfect through God's strength, not our own strength. And we become more worthy vessels as we set aside all of this baggage. All of us carry burdens. I understand that. All of us carry burdens, and we struggle in different ways. But I think if we read this, we will understand that we don't have to. We can lay those burdens, we can lay that weight at the foot of our Savior. But then we have to get up and leave them there. Because sometimes we go in prayer and we lay all this at God's feet. And we ask Him to handle it. We ask Him to forgive us. We ask Him to do what He does. And then as we get up to leave, we pick it back up and take it away with us again. We have to leave it at His feet. The good news is God wants us to be free from all that. He wants us to be free from the excess baggage. And it's time for us as a church to examine our own lives. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, examine this morning the race of faith that God has called you to run. And examine what things, unnecessary weight in your life, that as Scripture says, the sin that so easily entangles us. And it's time to confess that. It's time to allow God to take that away from us. Take that baggage away. So that we can run the race of life that God has set before us. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we confess that we're human. And as such, we do a couple things. First of all, we try to control our own life. We try to take charge of our own life. And secondly, ultimately, we fail. And Father, we admit that and we confess those things this morning, among others. But Father, we pray that as we've been confronted with Your Scripture, with Your Word, Father, that we will take seriously the charge to get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us, the extra baggage, the stuff in our lives that keeps us from running the race as You've set it before us. Father, we pray now that in this moment of silence, that Your Holy Spirit would convict us of that sin that so easily entangles us, and that You would give us the courage to place that at Your feet and ask Your forgiveness. Hear us now as we confess. Father, we accept Your forgiveness. Father, we pray that You would give us Your encouragement and Your strength as we go from this place to truly run the race set before us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, that's the starting point. That's the starting point in your race. So I want to challenge you, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And you need to have that relationship with Him. I'd be glad to share with you in the time of response that will be following how you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer and you need to set aside that baggage, hopefully you spent the time in prayer just a moment ago to do so. But if you would like to come and continue to pray, the altar will be open. If you would like to come and pray for others who don't know Christ yet or maybe who are struggling with things in their life, the altar will be open. If you would like to come and speak with me about being a member of College Park, it's a great group of believers. I'm convinced of that. A wonderful fellowship, and we'd be glad to talk with you about how you can join us. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. invite you to come back this afternoon, 4 o'clock. Where are you, Jeff? 4 o'clock? 4 o'clock at the pool, Town and Country Pool. So love to see you there and stay with us for life afterwards. Right, Cindy? Yes, indeed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we leave from this place. Dear Father, we are gathered as your people. We've been nurtured by your Spirit, and now we are sent in your name. And we pray that you would give us your strength and your peace and your courage. Help us to remember, Father, that you walk beside us and with us and through us so that we can be better witnesses for you. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.